Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's sing it again. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Of the Lord is in the... Help me sing it. Let's sing it again. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Let's sing it. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory.
Without that presence, this wouldn't be much of a worthwhile gathering. So sure thankful for that presence tonight that we felt and it's changed our lives. Appreciate that. We've got several requests tonight that we'll go ahead and take these to the Lord. And I'll ask Brother Terry, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Brother Bruce Hackett of Manitoba, he's having problems with his shoulder, also having ear trouble, needs healing. Pray for... Elizabeth and the family. Her grandmother passed away this afternoon. We'll be flying to Texas for the funeral. That's from Brother Jose Manley. Brother Richard Mahara is in the hospital due to a drug overdose. Please pray for him during a difficult time. That's from Brother Chuck Siminski. Turns that in. Pray for Sister Christine Baker, who's not feeling well. Request prayer. Martha Johnson is sick. Also for Cheryl Nida for problems with her heart. And Eddie Yance was talking to me about his granddaughter, problems that she's having. I think that they're giving her like 30-some% chance of survival, young lady, and also raising a small child. So very, very serious need. She's in the hospital right now. So let's just ask the Lord to do something great in that situation. Let's pray for Brother Powell and family from India, multiple needs in their family. Testimony after prayer Wednesday night. William got up the next morning walking normal, and the swelling continues to go down in his knee and leg. Thanking God for answering prayer. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Prayer request for Seth's baby, very sick. Sonia Babb turns that in. Let's remember that child. And this is Brittany Nida for Brother Ed and Faye Yance, another request there for her. And also salvation for her. So let's stand this evening. Just join in with Brother Terry if he would come and pray over these requests tonight.
Amen.
We're another week closer.
Amen. One more week closer. It's another, that week we'll never have to live out since a week ago today. We'll never have to live that again. We're that week closer. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be living. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads, I want to invite your presence tonight. I want to say thank you that we have this opportunity, Lord, to come back into the house of God. We're so exceedingly thankful in our hearts. We know that the door of mercy is soon to close. We know that the door of freedom is soon to be closed. Lord, while we yet have opportunity in this land that we call a land of the free, which is probably 80% of it's already gone. But we believe, Lord, that before the thing is all wrapped up and the bombs begin to fall, we believe this bride will be lose her gravitation and we'll be taken out of here. As we come tonight, dear God, we want to draw on that inspiration from the source of that seed. Lord, I think about a oak tree. It had a seed of life, a gene of life in it, and it become an acorn, become an oak tree, and it draws from that gene of life all those years to become a mature tree. And Lord, you put that seed in us when we were come upon this earth. It might have been dormant for many years, like the grains that was in the garners of Egypt, but one day it was planted when we heard that truth and saw that light. Lord, it had a resurrection of life, and from that day we've been drawing inspiration from the source of that seed. God, we come because that's our nature, and we love it, and we love to come to church because that's the nature of that seed, because that come from God. We're thankful that we've had a transformation of nature. We pray, Lord, that all that's in the house tonight, God, if they never had that transformation of nature, that you would brood over them, that you would speak to their hearts, let them realize the door of mercy could be closed tonight. We're not even promised to get home. There could be a telephone pole in the way of somebody tonight. We don't know what a future holds. But Lord, if we've made peace with God, knowing that our soul is passed from the death and the life, we don't have to worry about what happens between now and when we get home. We might even not get home, but Lord, we'll get our future home one day real soon. We ask, Lord, for this granddaughter that only had 30% chance, Lord, with God, it's 100% chance. You promised all things are possible if you could just only believe. It's not 30%, it's 100%. Because he said there's nothing too hard for God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, you shall have them. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, just ask what you will. Just so many promises. That's the word of God. Doesn't matter what the atheists and the unbelievers and the skeptics say. You promised it, we believe it, and that settles it. We pray that you'll bless and anoint our speaker tonight. Give him, Lord, thus saith the Lord, to speak to the bride. Anoint him with the inspiration, Lord, that you've laid upon his heart to bring us the message tonight. And may it be spiritual food in due season. Every request I have in my hand, I pray that you would meet those needs. Let it be testimonies from each one of them. If they can have faith, that there's faith in the building, somebody's going to believe in behalf of those requests. I believe that, Lord. May we have a wonderful, joyous time of fellowship around the Word tonight. We invite your presence. You take the uppermost seat tonight, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you. We love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. Well, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it was sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master called, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Their disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water.
take His bride to be ever at His side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Those will be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master called. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Amen. Let's sing Wasn't That Love. Wasn't That Love. F.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as He wore that robe. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How He left His home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As He stood in Pilate's hall, He never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell, "Crucify!" Came to die. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How He left His home above down Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day wasn't that love? As He laid that thing in that tomb, did just what He came to do. Wasn't that love? My Savior's love. Wasn't that love? Oh, but He rose up from the grave so I could rise up today. Wasn't that love? To save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Let's sing the chorus again. Wasn't that love? Someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Amen. No greater love. DeBrose would like to come and lift the offering. Brother Joel Brown, would you mind to come and sing that song that we closed out with? I think it was last Wednesday. If You Want to Know. Would you mind to come do that? I'm going to stand over here and sing with you. That's one off the bucket list. I just love this song. He just teased us with a little bit of it at the end of that service. So.
We had a lot of nosy people. A lot of nosy people wondering why you do this, why you do that. If you want to know.
If you want to know.
Where I'm going. Where I'm going. Soon. If you want to know.
If you want to know.
Where I'm going, one day soon. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Take the pain, listen.
I can take the pain,
the heartaches that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Whoa, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. To be with my Lord. If anybody asks you where I'm going one day soon, could be tonight. Oh, if anybody asks you where I'm going one day soon. Oh, tell them for me, I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture one day soon. I'm going in the rapture one day soon. Now I can take the pains of life, the heartache that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to live with my Lord. Yonder, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder.
be with my Lord. Sing it one more time. I'm going in the rapture. Are you going in the rapture? I'm going in the rapture. I'm going in the rapture. One day soon. I'm going up yonder to be with, to be with. I'm going to live with. I'm going to try on my long white robe. I'm going to try on my brand new shoes. I'm going to put on that new name that he's given just for me. One day.
Hallelujah. Brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going with him. That means going. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad we can have that assurance in our hearts to know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. Let's read a little more about what it's going to take to be able to do that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. We'll read down through verses 7. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, let me tell you something here about knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Some preachers, I'm convinced, around this message have the gift of knowledge. And they can preach such outstanding things. A lot of people classify it as revelation, which people think gives them a superior something. But you could still have knowledge and not have charity, and you're still missing it. So we don't want just wisdom, knowledge, gifts, all that. We want that. He said, though I have all knowledge and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh or imputeth no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. My. Now we're going up yonder now, remember? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel wanted me to make these announcements here. Short meeting in the fellowship hall after the service for the youth who want to go to the Murfreesboro Youth Banquet with Brother Wes. Also, Brother Abe and his wife from Saskatchewan. Where are they at? Right here? God bless y'all. Nice to see you again. Amen. Nice to have them in service with us tonight. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you through the channel of prayer, we are so grateful that we can bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, close our eyes, and call you Father. Lord, we have before us tonight, your great word, which we are so thankful for. Lord Jesus, we're asking that you would help us tonight as we look into your word. Father God, we desire to be a prepared people for a prepared place. May the presence of God, I pray, come and take the word tonight and speak to us, Lord. Dear Jesus, you see this prayer cloth that I hold in my hand. Father, I don't need to make the situation known to you, Lord, but you know all about it. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, that you would just meet this need and this request. Dear God, I know that you can move and Satan cannot hinder. As I preach with it, Lord, in my pocket, Lord Jesus, I pray the anointing of God that anoints the word tonight, may it go with this, Father, and may you bring deliverance and revelation and salvation and things that are needed for this request. I commit myself to you tonight, Father, and the church, that we might be benefited by our gathering here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You love him, saints. Amen. All your heart. God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Now, notice Paul taking another perspective or another view of charity. He said, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he was basically speaking that they have a knowledge or an understanding about idolatry, that they were to stay away from it. But then he wants to bring this in of the difference between knowledge and charity. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge can be a weapon to fight with. Knowledge can be a great tool by which the Spirit of God can use it to be able to build people up. So it depends on what we would use knowledge for. Knowledge can be dangerous, even Bible knowledge. And message knowledge can be dangerous if it's not used with charity. Now, let me, you say, why? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. What does Satan use against you when you make mistakes and fall short of the glory of God? His knowledge of the Word of God. He'll tell you the Bible said this and the prophet said that and the Bible said this and your pastor said so and so. And what's he trying to do? Take his knowledge of what the Word said. And if you allow him, he'll beat you to death with it. And people can do exactly the same thing, and we can do exactly the same thing to ourselves. So knowledge has the capability of building up, or it can edify. But charity cannot be used in such a way. Charity will never have the ability to be able to puff up. But charity is always the ability to edify. And they said knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Now let me say this, and you comprehend what I'm going to say. That a person with a know-it-all attitude, when you see an individual, whether it's a preacher, man, woman, boy, or girl, that has a know-it-all attitude, that is a sure sign of ignorance. A person who really finds out more about truth, the more they find out, the more they realize they don't know. It's not the more they find out, the more they know, and they got a know-it-all attitude. When you see someone who has a know-it-all attitude, it is a sure sign of absolute ignorance in that individual. Now, you say, Brother Donnie, how can you say that? Well, let's look at one who knew it all, and that was the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus knew it all, but did Jesus have a know-it-all attitude? If he would have had a know-it-all attitude, it would have been a display of ignorance. He was the very fountain of wisdom, the very fountain of everything there was to know, but being around him, you would have never knew that he knew it all. The people looked at him and thought he was a common sort of a fella. They never thought he was a professor or a scientist. They sure never thought he was the creator. They never thought he knew the law of gravity and the law of darkness and the law of electricity and the law of contrast and the law of light and the law of darkness and on and on and on and on. I could go. Why? He did not project that attitude. And yet he knew it all and never acted like that he hardly knew anything. But he said, I can do nothing in myself, only what the Father shows me.
So here is a person who really knew it all, but they knew it all and expressed it through wisdom instead of thinking they knew it all and expressed it through ignorance. And Happy Valley said, amen. Now, you see, a person who has knowledge without charity, what they will tend to do is once they get around people who they feel are inferior, or they talk to them a little bit and they know they are inferior, if they don't have charity, then they will take that knowledge and they'll begin to expound and they'll begin to boil, let everybody know what they know about this and that and the other. And really, you know, for a person like that, they're not showing their knowledge. They're showing their ignorance. And what are they doing? They are, through their knowledge, they are puffing up their flesh and gratifying their flesh. Where if they really had a real gift of knowledge with charity, they would be more concerned about trying to edify someone who maybe didn't know what they knew or understood what they understood, because all of these gifts. Now remember, when Paul writes this, he's dealing with a gift problem in the Corinthian church. And he's going to take and show us the opposite of faith and hope and charity versus gifts, because these other gifts are temporal and they will pass away. Prophecy is good, but prophecy will not be perfected. Every gift in every man's life, preaching, speaking in tongues, all of that is good, but none of those gifts ever reach the stage of perfection to be able to go through the pearly gates. Only that which is perfect and complete will be allowed to come into heaven. Now what? So Paul says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Now, you know, it's imagine, it's a great thing for us to be able to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding and be able to apply that through charity to where that we could take all of our gifts, whether it's singing or preaching or prophesying, and apply them through the channel of charity, and it would be a benefit for our brothers and sisters, and not so much ourselves. Because when you look at it, faith is the avenue toward God. Hope is the avenue toward us, and charity is the avenue toward others. Faith, the avenue toward God. Now, hope, the avenue toward us, and charity, the avenue toward our brothers and sisters. And relating to this, these are the three sisters by which the divine traits and characteristics of a believer heads up in the capstone in their life. You say, hope. You'll find out how much you're going to need hope. Now watch again in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Now notice the order is not desire spiritual gifts first and then follow after charity, but follow after charity and then desire spiritual gifts. Now Paul told them that he was going to give them a more perfect way or a more excellent way. This is it right here. This is the excellent way. Of course, chapter 14 followed chapter 13, and the excellent way was operating in charity. Now, what if every preacher in this church operated his preaching gift after charity? It was not so much that he could outdo this guy, that guy, that guy. If every preacher that's really God called in the message would operate his ministry, his church, his gift, if he's a pastor, an evangelist, teacher, it would not be so much so that he would be greater than this one or greater than that one or more acknowledgement or travel over here or go over there, but he would offer his gift to God and say, God, I want to give myself my gift that you gave me. I want to totally operate in the avenue of charity. Not self-gratification, not so people would acknowledge me, but totally and completely and to edify the body. Then therefore, it would make that man to where God could send him to a small crowd or send it to maybe a bigger crowd or a large crowd. Now, if the man is speaking in honesty, it makes no difference to him. But if he wants vanity of the flesh, then he will choose the bigger crowd, the more offering, the bigger opportunity. But friend, that's only politics. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth. It's inside the message. It's inside the ministry. And folks would rather have big this and big that and more acknowledgement. Well, I wish I could be famous like Brother Ron Spencer. I wish I could be. Look, friend, everybody is not going to be like Brother Ron. Everybody's not going to preach like Brother Tim. We've all got to find our place and be what God wants us to be. And if we will operate our gifts through charity, dirty, it's not about us anyway. It's not about how big we are, how important we are. It's about us taking what we are, giving it back to the channel of charity. Forget my recognition. Forget whether people know me by name or not. He knows my name. What more do I need? Oh, if I could play the bass more, if I could sing more, well, submit yourself to God and say, God, you use me as often and as frequent as I can be a blessing. This is why folks get mad in church when they don't get to sing more or play more or do this more. Submit yourself to God and say, God, use me as it edifies the body, not as it gratifies me. And the church said, I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather be a preacher in the will of God and preach 5 times a month than be a man full of vanity and preach 35 times a month. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Follow after charity. Now watch, the word here that Paul uses is earnestly seek to attain to it. And it means to follow vigorously or vehemently. I mean, it's something that you've got to have. It's something that you so set your soul toward. You've got to have it more than anything else in this world. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now listen to this, in faith is a substance. Brother Bram said, for Paul said it was impossible for him to do those things without having the giver. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, all right. Now love one another. Above everything that you do, love one another. As you love one another, you'll love God. See, you love each other and you'll love God, for God is love. And a man that walks in love walks in life. Oh my. A man that walks in love walks in life. I'm convinced, friends, in order for us to have a more spiritual, fruitful life, in order for us to have even a more abundant life in God, we need a deeper degree of the love of God in our lives. Notice there's keys to everything that we look at in God. And a man that walks in love walks in life. And perfect love casteth out all fear. Then if you can take him at his word and not fear a bit about it. Now the very reason why we get scared when we hear a negative doctor's report, or scared whenever the economy is going to collapse, or this or that or the other. The reason we get horrified about such things is because we're not walking in the proper degree of love. Because if we really believe that God will take care of us if our economy totally collapses tonight while we're in church, if he can feed the sparrow, he can feed me. But if we're not walking in the right degree of love, then what will grab a hold of us? Fear, anxiety, sorrow. Come on, say amen, children. But if we can walk in the degree of love that we walk, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the report says, we can look and say, I'm a winner either way. If I die, I'm going into the presence of God. And if I live, God's going to heal me and I'm going to be a miracle. I refuse to fear the devil's hot breath as he breathes down my back. I am an overcomer. I am a winner. I'm a child of God. Oh my, listen to this. He says, if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit come around you. Don't let no malice come in, no matter what anybody does. If they are wrong, don't you never build up a complex against that person. Now, isn't it amazing how that we, as children of God, still have the capability of the human part, which has not been converted, to build up complexes against our brothers and sisters? Now, of course, I know no one here has any of those, so I'll just speak it for those that are streaming tonight, okay? Apparently, the Lord wanted somebody to hear this, so I'll go ahead and preach it. Don't never build a complex against that person. See, you be sweet and kind. And remember, God loves you when you were in sin. Now, what's he doing? He's giving us the very opposite. When people would do things against us and cause us to build a complex against them. You know, most genuine Christians are not mean. They're not full of hate and all that sort of thing. But Satan knows that we, as the children of God, have the capability of building up a complex against against someone else, if they do something to harm us or to hurt us or to hurt our feelings, even though they themselves may go on with God and they may not even be conscious of how much it hurt you and I as an individual. But we will take that and we'll mull over that and we'll look over it and we'll let it build and build and oh my, it's just like an old sore, you know, with the corruption running out of it. And we begin to build a complex within ourselves, and they begin to notice we're treating them funny. They begin to notice that we're not acting quite the same. And yet, who's the worse for it? We are. Because we're the one building the complex against that individual. Oh, my. Notice this. He said, remember, God loved you when you were in sin. Well, what's the type? The type is God loved you when you were in sin, so you love them and they're wrong against you. God had every right, if we're looking at it by right, to build a complex against us. But instead of God building a complex against us, he gave mercy. He built a body. Oh, glory. He built a body and sent the atonement power in that body. That's your example. Now he said, above everything, love God and love one another and be humble, humble with God and around one another, and God will bless you. And it's hard telling what he'll do. This is a man or woman right here that there ain't enough devils in hell to stop them. Their life, Brother Jim, is so controlled by the love of God. And they're going to have probably more enemies than the other kind of person anyway, because the love of God in our soul is a true reflected image of deity. Amen. God is not faith. God is not hope. But God is love. So love created in the soul by supernatural means reflects the image of God in your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this again in 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all your things be done with charity. Now, you know, a preacher can preach without charity. He can preach hard and stern and firm, and he'll say, oh, people don't like me because I stand for the truth. Hallelujah. A lot of times it's not that he's standing for the truth. It's that he's telling the truth, but he ain't got no charity. Hey, I can stand right there with the best of them and be cut on and whipped on and all that sort of thing. But buddy, don't leave me hanging high and dry. Offer me a way back. Amen. Offer me mercy at the end of your sermon. When you get done cutting me and cutting my toes off and my fingers and remove my nose and my ears and I'm standing there near in a skeleton, don't leave me. Wrap me up. Pour oil and wine in the wounds and lead me back to Calvary. Come on. It bothers me when you're a preacher that absolutely butchers you and offers you no way back and no reconciliation. There's something wrong with that. Amen. Come on, children. Amen. Tell me where I'm wrong, but then tell me how to get back to that. A song leader can lead singing without charity. Musicians can play without charity. Singers can sing without charity. Paul said, let everything you do be done with charity. The deacon brothers can be in their office without charity. Brother Jim, you can run the library without charity. The Sunday school teacher, Brother Michael, all the rest of these people, all of us as a pastor, I can pastor this church without charity. But I refuse to do so. Anybody want to join me? You deacons want to refuse to be a deacon without charity? Song leader, musicians, preachers, we refuse to do it without charity. Watch this. Brother Branham had reached a spot in his life to where that, you know, God had so blessed him and had so anointed his ministry and give him the anointing above his fellows. But yet something happened to Brother Branham. And he began to have a complex. Brother Branham still was gifted. He still had the Holy Ghost. But it's something about his feeling toward his brothers and sisters that began to wane. Something began to move upon him. Now let's take this as an example now, standing in the gap. Paragraph 53. Now I'm preaching to myself in this. And a real preacher will. A preacher that don't preach to himself, he ain't going to preach to me long because I ain't going to listen to him. If he puts himself above everybody else and preaches higher than he lives, he ain't preaching for me many times. I can tell you that right now. I'd rather have a man preach A, B, C, D, E, F, G, if that's where he's living, than to preach up here like a rocket scientist in his life is A, B, C. I don't like that. Because it's hypocrisy. Now this is one thing that I really, really love about this prophet messenger. You see, if Brother Branham was a deceiver, if Brother Branham was a hypocrite, and Brother Branham was trying to hide things from you people, then Brother Branham would have had people go through his sermons, through his tapes, and took out all the human parts. So you would have only caught the supernatural and that which he wanted you to hear. But he didn't do that, did he? He left his mistakes, he left the human errors, he left the misquoting of scriptures, the misquoting of dates and facts. Now, this is why I can follow this man. I'm preaching to myself in this. Could we stand and see a human being that's blind, physically blind, and know that he's walking over a cliff? Now listen to the scenario that he's painting. A person that's blind and they're fixing to walk over a cliff. Could we, in our state of mind that we're in this morning, could we stand and see a blind man walk over a cliff blind and not try to warn him? It would be there, we would be so cruel, we'd be so indifferent in our heart. Could you imagine a person getting so indifferent that he could almost life and see a blind man that cannot see and can't help himself deliberately walk over a cliff? That would be a bad thing and do nothing about it. Well, to my brethren the world over, I want to make this confession. I humbly say it. That's just about what I was doing or fixing to do. Now, what false prophet or deceiver would want you to hear that about him? What liar would want you to hear, what hypocrite would want you to hear the scenario that he just painted, that if we would stand and see a blind man nearly walking over a cliff, and then Brother Branham said that's what he was doing or about to do? Amen. I've been preaching for years, he said. And I've become an old man, old veteran preacher. Had a lot of hard battles. And I'm scarred and all cut up. Where, Brother Branham? On the inside. From fights, because my lot the Lord gave me was not to back to kiss the babies and marry the young and bury the old. It was to hold a two-handed sword at the battlefront. And I'm glad he did. Amen. Against the wiles of paganism and demonology and the powers of darkness and fight it with the word of God till I've seen the enemy defeated and I've been cut deep many times. You mean a prophet of God was cut deep? None of us are exempt, my friends, from being cut deep. Now, depending on where you're cut at, what will leak out of you when the wound is made? You see, if you're cut in the certain part of your being, it might be your face that'll trickle out. If you're cut in another part of your being, it might be your hope. It might be this, that, the other. Or if you're cut in the right spot, it might be your charity. Now, not that you don't love God. You still love God, but your love for your brothers and sisters is begin to leak out because you've been cut so deep and Satan hits you right exactly in the reservoir of your charity. And yet hardly nobody may know it. Because you still got faith. You're faithful in attendance to pay your tithes and do many things because that part of you was not cut, but your charity was cut. So Brother Branham had been cut deep many times. Now watch this in paragraph 65. My mother that just passed on into glory about a little over a year ago, he said, my mother, her father was a hunter, and I think all that come out from him in that stand because I love the woods, and I thought, if this people that call themselves Christians, if they don't want to listen to the message I'm preaching, then let them alone. Yeah. Sure. Now, if we're not careful, This is the attitude we'll develop. Fine. They don't want the message. Let them go on. Go to hell. Be careful. Be careful. There's two ways that those same exact words can be said. One of them are acceptable to God and the other one isn't. The one that's acceptable is when the Spirit of God anoints a man or preacher, whatever, to say that, and he says it through love, that's acceptable. When he says it out of anger or a complex, God does not accept that. I don't care how much he screams and shouts and hollers and speaks in tongues. Let all things be done in charity. Preaching hard ain't enough. We got to preach hard with charity. Preach, Brother Donnie. Y'all say amen now tonight with charity. Now watch, so Brother Branham become, we know he loved hunting and that was his nature, and he said, if they don't want to listen to the message I'm preaching, then let them alone. I'll just stop it all together and I'll go up into the mountain. Now has Brother Branham lost faith in God? No. Has he lost hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus? Absolutely not. Does he no longer believe God can heal the sick? His problem is toward the people. Whew. Oh my. Well, I guess I'll get crucified after this. People say what he said, and then when you say what he said, like this, they don't want you to say what he said because they don't like what he said. But I like what he said. As I said, I can follow a man that can say this. I never regarded myself, anybody knowing this, but people have said, Brother Branham, the Lord's called you to be his prophet. Well, I never regarded myself as that, but I began to get to the time that I was about ready to do it. To think, well, maybe I am. If I am, I'll live back in the wilderness. And if I live back in the wilderness, then I'll be his prophet. Then if he wants to send me somewhere while he's not using me, I'll sure catch some fine fish. Ah. So what are we talking about now? Without charity. Oh Lord. Brother Jim, better get ready. Here come the emails. At least it won't be on CNN this time, hopefully. Now he said, oh my, I'll catch some fine fish. Of course, that was kind of a selfish attitude, see? Because I wanted to do that. Wonder how many preachers want to go overseas. Wonder how many preachers want to do this and do that and do something else. And all they've got to do is simply hide it behind these magic words. I feel led. That don't work for the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterian, the Church of Christ, the United Brethren. But it works for us. How many things have we felt led to do that was nothing but the devil? Hallelujah. Now notice, Brother Branham wanted to do this. Now you know, friends, it's amazing how that this is 3 months after the seals has been preached. 3 months. 3 months since the seals have come open. My, what a great, tremendous thing followed the opening of the seals. Can you imagine this now at the Branham Tabernacle? And then people sitting there hearing their pastor, their prophet, talk about losing love and feeling for the people. What hypocrite do you know? Which television evangelist do you know includes such things in the biographies? In their memoirs, which ones will tell you that they listened to their mother-in-law instead of listening to God? Which one will tell you, as he said in Life Story in Phoenix, that at that day I will have to stand and answer for many, many thousands of souls that should have been saved? Amen. Find it, will you? Amen. But you see, oh hallelujah. With this kind of a man who opens up his soul, for those who have an ear to hear, they can look and see the humanity. We don't need to blot all this out of the message. It needs to be left in the message. Why? Because I might come to a spot, I'm down, or you're down, or you're down, or you're discouraged. We can go right back to things like this and say, God used this man and brought him out of a spot. He can do it for me. Hallelujah. Of course, that was kind of a selfish attitude, see, because I wanted to do that. Now, it isn't the thing that's to do, and I know I had that made up in my mind to do it. Now, you remember him and Billy Paul was coming down the road, and he said Billy was a really good sleeper, and he wasn't sleepy, so he was driving, and Billy was sleeping. And the Lord starts dealing with him. Now, it's amazing because the Lord doesn't take sides with Brother Branham and blast the people and say, I'll kill them all. I'll raise the message right out of your family and nobody else. God actually sides with the people and tells Brother Branham he's the one wrong. Now, driving down the road in Montana, then the Lord goes to talking to him. And you remember the story that he sees the rough guy in the restaurant, him and Billy had stopped and got some breakfast. And there was a man sitting over there and another man. And he said, Brother Branham had this dream a little while before about seeing his brother-in-law, Fletch. And Brother Branham also was there and he was in the city dump. And Brother Branham had reverted from being a prophet Elijah to being a bum. Remember? Now, it's amazing, isn't it, that God would give a prophet a dream that he knew would never come to pass, but he had to give it to him to scare him. What's wrong with just talking to him? What's wrong with just telling him this and him obeying it? Because it shows you how human beings that are saved can still get in this right here. Well, I know you don't like this, children, but it's going to deliver some of you, shores of a God in heaven. Hallelujah to God! Why didn't God just show him a scripture? Why didn't God just show him a vision? But God let him have a dream that God knew would never come to pass. But God was going to have to use that dream on him to scare him. God ever have to scare any of you all? He scared the liver out of me. There ain't no telling how many times. Or you saying he never scared me? Well, you're either a big liar or you ain't saved one. I guarantee you there ain't a child of God won't sin in you unless you just got saved last night that God ain't scared the liver out of you time and time again. Why? The stubbornness and hard-headedness of humanity. That's not the way God wants to deal with us. We force his hand. God didn't want to have to deal with Brother Branham this way. Brother Branham forced God's hand. You understand? Now listen what the voice is saying back. Paragraph 118, it said, carry out your plans and you'll be like that. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. It said, your wife will go too. She won't live up there in them hills like that. And you'll become from Elijah to a bum. Now, God knew this wasn't going to come to pass, but he's got to put it to Brother Branham in such a way that it'll shake him. Thank God for mercy. Why? Because Brother Branham lost faith. He lost faith. Brother Branham lost hope. He lost hope. Charity. Charity. Don't you tell me, friends, it ain't important. It's very important. You'll become a bum. Just as the dream showed you, you would. He said he walked out there on the edge of that bum and looked across through there and the fires was lit up in the night. And Fletch told him, he said, Brother Bill, he said, you stay right here and I'll find you a place to lay. He said, you helped me so many times. Brother Bram said, I walked out there to the edge of that dump and I thought, think about it. At one time, I led the bride of Jesus Christ. Now look at where I am. Because of what? Lack of faith, lack of miracles. Miracles are still going on. What's affecting Brother Branham? The spears in his charity. And he's not feeling toward the people the way he should. Oh my. I said, I don't want to be that, but I don't want to have to live like that. I want to do something different. But I was told you called me to be a prophet and I want to live in the wilderness like a prophet. But I was using my own excuse so I could hunt my own good. If you listen to this, he said, God show him something, he'd stomp out of the wilderness. And then he tells you, and there's 1,400 miles from the nearest town. By the time he stomped out, the situation would have been taken care of. He didn't say fly out, he said stomp out. Time you stomp out and stomp back, you ain't going to do it with two or three stompings and you're going to be dead. Look, it don't even make sense. Look how we can become, church. That's why sometimes when we go to talking old foolish stuff. Well, I don't know. I think I'll cut out. I'm so grateful for the grace of God. When we talk old foolish stuff, that we don't mean it a bit more than nothing. And the grace of God knows we're kind of addled a little bit and we got a little bit of amnesia. But he knows if he can slow down that train, hallelujah, and get you to walk out and look up at the water tower and look across the hill. You'll walk across the hill and you'll find your daddy over there at home on the porch. And you'll come to yourself. Glory! You'll come to yourself and get your charity back. He said that was the prophets of the Old Testament. You've been called in there in a much higher office than that. You have more gifts beside that. You was called to pray for the sick and preach the gospel. In the apostolic form of greater things, many great gifts. Now for those of you that are blaspheming this prophet, God says this and you say something else. Woo, I feel sorry for you. Why do you wait for me to move you every time you move? Where is your reward? Then I seen and then said, do you remember? Do you remember what Brother Roberson told you in your dream, in his vision? That you had done like Moses. You forgot the feeling of God, of angels, cherubim, zooms, the feeling of your people. What is this? Charity. Charity. As human beings, friends, we can become so methodical in everything that we do. Preachers can preach methodical. And that don't mean that they're necessarily dry. They can become in form of method and scream and holler and carry on, and that's still methodical. Just as methodical as the guy that never moves from behind the pulpit. People can jerk their neck in a certain way and sing in a certain way and clap their hands in a certain way. And we're losing feeling when we do it. And we're living in the worst age it's ever been for losing your feeling. It's a cold Laodicean age. I don't want to sing without feeling. I don't want to clap my hands without feeling. I know it ain't going to be there probably every time I do it. I don't want to get used to preaching without feeling. I don't want to get to a place that I can be a good preacher without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I hope to God I never get there, because I'm finished if I do. You understand? You forgot the feeling of your people. You forgot the call that I called you to do. Now let me make sure I understand this right. This is a deceiver, so-called. This is a hypocrite, a liar, and a false prophet, so-called, that's trying to deceive people. Is he an imbecile? Does this sound like deceiving words that you'd want to send out to your followers all over the world, that they're hearing God rebuke you? No, this is Elijah, like when the Lord come to him under the juniper tree. Amen. Don't bleach out the prophets and make them white as Clorox. Leave them mortals. Amen. Leave them mortals. That's the kind of prophets God wanted, mortal men. Notice this in paragraph 122. I let the sick lay. I want the Lord to tell me where to go and what not to, and that's wrong. And I had built myself a complex because the people didn't hear my message. And instead of God rebuking the people and destroying them all, God rebukes the prophet. So if Brother Branham built the complex, where did he get the material? The people. There ain't no way in the world we can imagine how this man felt. That every time you get around people, they always wanted something. They wanted discernment. They wanted a gift. They wanted to know where their keys was. Is their daddy going to be saved? Is their boy going to be saved? Constantly wanting something. Constantly pulling on you. And the very people he was sent to lead was the very people he began to lose feeling for. Preaching mind, the people sitting there and didn't even know it. But the wounds were so deep that his charity began to leak out. You see, friends, preachers are actors anyway. I got to get up here and preach and act like I'm the most victorious person in the world. Many times I'm lower than you are. But if I walked out like I fell, y'all would think, dear Lord, what's the matter, Brother Donnie? I'm just acting like you all do. Acting like you feel and wore all over your face. What's a preacher supposed to do? He's supposed to come out here and read the Bible, smile on his face. Man, there's victory in the camp. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord's among us. He's moving among us. Praise the Lord. So you see, in the danger of a man already learning how to get himself out of the way, then that he can lose this and hardly nobody knows it. But him and God. Mama, thank you, Lord, for a man like this. God forbid that I try to compare the life now like Moses. But it's exactly what Moses did. The people wouldn't listen to him when he come deliver them, so he just left them alone and went into the wilderness. But God turned him around, and he long forgot the suffering people. Then I said, Lord, how could that be right? No education with a grammar school education. And the people would stand in rows and everywhere hear the simple gospel. It's greater now than it was under the old covenant. He ascended on high and gave gifts unto men, see? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever. And I was talking, I heard it talking to me, and it left me. Oh my. These Rickies and Rickettas, I've so sashed the words and I've called them Rick and Ricketta. God give me to understand that I shouldn't do that. Now when you get time, there's a little something I want you to do. I want you to go back here and check out Ricky and Ricketta 61 and 62. Listen up through it to 63 and then start listening to it again about 9 months or so after this happens and see if you can tell the difference when he was right and wrong saying the same words. Because it ain't too much longer after this that he goes to saying the same thing again. What's the difference? Saying it with charity. People think a preacher that preaches hard don't have the love of God. That's totally a lie. Amen. But a preacher can preach hard without the love of God. But a preacher with the love of God will tell you the truth. Amen. Don't you get in your mind, oh, Brother Donnie just now got saved. No, I've been saved for a long time. I'm getting more charity, but don't think I'm going to compromise on the word. Oh, no. I'm still preaching sanctification. I'm still preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to preach it with more love than I've ever preached in my life. That don't mean I get charity and all of a sudden, hello, children. How are you all tonight? Don't worry, I'm not going to hold you long because I know y'all want to go to Dairy Queen and get a blizzard. And I won't hold you long in the morning and we're just going to kind of rush in and rush out. And I'm not going to preach hard from now. When you know that, admit me. When I start saying that stuff, just go ahead and take me, Brother West. Take me to work with you. Real love tells the truth. Was Brother Branham saying the truth? He was. But there was a missing element. He was saying it without the feeling for the people. He was saying it too. Oh my, listen to this. God give me to understand. I shouldn't do that. Once again, this is the reason why I can follow a man like this. And God can still give him to understand. He's teachable in his spirit. He's teachable in his attitude. And he can be corrected. Because many of them are still His children. They can't help because they act so much different. Some of those old cool formal churches has got them the spirit upon them, and they're in much prison as Israel was in prison. As much as Moses went down there to deliver them from slavery. Human beings that love Jesus Christ would serve Him if they only knew how to serve Him by, and they're in bondage under that denomination. Now what? What's the difference now? God has illuminated an understanding. Is Brother Bram never going to say it again? He is going to say it again. But the next time he starts saying it, he's going to say it with a different understanding and a feeling toward those people. They are in bondage. Oh my, can I go on? Moses lost the feeling of his people because they wouldn't listen to him. And Brother Roy, you see your dream? I cannot go with a ministry like that until I feel different in my heart. Now remember, God showed him the mountain range there in Montana. I've hunted down that mountain. There's seven different peaks. There's three major ones and then four small ones, and you come in between them. I've hunted right there by the road where the Lord showed it to him. It's a wonderful thing to see. But that mountain didn't change him. God spoke to him. That still didn't change him. He was on his way to being changed, but his feelings haven't changed yet. You understand? You see, this is why, friends, we can say we're wrong when we hear the word being preached and we get prayed for, and you ask me to pray for you and other ministers to pray for you, and you raise your hand, God, help me, Lord. But if you've got to lay with it and think, you know what? That's the truth. That's right. But I still don't feel right. I don't feel right toward that brother. God, work on me till I feel right. Now notice again the honesty of Brother Branham. After God speaking to him, showing him the mountain, showing him the dream, all of that, he still says, I cannot go with a ministry like that until I feel different in my heart about it. No matter if God did tell me. You see, now we have to be careful. This is where it separates the word from the love. God can tell you, and you agree, that's right, I need it, that's exactly right, Lord. And still feel indifferent toward this one, that one, the other one. What is Brother Bam doing? Just being plain out honest. He's not calling God a liar. He's not acknowledging, well, I think it's just some fake God getting him. He's acknowledging what's the truth. He said, even though God spoke to me, that part in me has not changed yet. I've got to have a change in me. I've lost something. I need to regain it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Notice he said, even no matter if God did tell me, but that is the change, Brother Roy, that you've seen coming. Something's got to change me. Because in my heart, if I go out there feeling the way I do now, I still feel they ought to have heard that message. So he's been corrected by the word. He said he's wrong by the word. But his feelings and his emotions now, he's been living under this complex for some time now. He doesn't really say how long. But under any complex, we begin to get these fears and we begin to develop all these feelings. And just because you hear the word of God to correct you, don't mean your feelings automatically let go of that complex. It may take weeks, it may take months, who knows exactly how long, but notice, friend, I'm so glad he said it this way. This is the only place in the entire message that I have ever found that it defines releasing of complexes and showing that it's not always miraculous. Amen. That it always happens at one time. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. I still feel that way. They ought to have heard the message, they ought to have done it. I don't have the feeling for the people that I should have. Faith in God. Hope in the coming of the Lord. Belief in the resurrection. Feeling for the people. Oh my. I don't have the feeling for the people that I should have. Until I can get that feeling, there is no need in me going, because I'd be a hypocrite. Whew. Brother Donnie, this devastates me about Brother Branham. Wow, that's strange. It builds my faith anymore. Don't you see, friends? People with the Holy Ghost. You believe Brother Branham had the Holy Ghost? You believe Brother Branham experienced perfect love? You believe all these things? What's happened to him, Brother Jim? He got wounded so deep, and Satan has pointed toward what? The very people he's sent to lead. You can't lead them if you don't feel right toward them. Thank God for his honesty. Oh my, all these years he said, I've tried to serve him with a true heart. I won't go out there being a hypocrite. I've got to feel that that isn't Ricky and Ricketta. And it isn't this bunch. It's God's children that's in bondage. Now God told him that, and he can say it, but he still don't feel it. Why? Charity. Charity. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Brother Bram's love had leaked out. Like mine, like yours, like all the folks around the message does. We can preach up a storm. We can preach and do all this and that and the other. Let me tell you something, friend. I realized a long time ago as a preacher, God gives me certain signs. Signs in my body, signs in my spirit, signs in my soul. Now, I'm not talking about miracles and wonder signs. I'm talking about signs for me to watch. Signs for me to watch about stress, about pride, about arrogance, about all these things. If you are called to be something for God, you have this equipment built in you. It is sensors, so to speak. It is warning bells, so to speak. Every person, whether you call it a preacher, a deacon, a trustee, or the library staff, a sound man, whatever it is, if you're called by God to do that, that's why the people don't need to be doing these things unless they're called by God. Because it'll drive you nuts. That's right. You'll go out there and preach and this, that, and other, but you're doing it without the buzzing warners in you that comes with the gift of God. People think a gift of God is something that just puts the word together. And a gift of God makes you run and get anointed. The gift of God has much more than that to it. The gift is something there that warns you. Oh man, it warns you about others. It warns you about yourself. And buzzers go to going off within yourself when you're about to reach your limit so you don't push over and destroy your own self. Oh my. And I realize myself, and I go to getting stressed, and I go to getting pulled in so many directions. If I override that, I'll get in trouble. They ain't gonna leave me to blame the devil. They ain't gonna leave me to blame you. There's only one person to blame, and that's me. Remember Brother Brandon being on the prayer line on the altar there in Arkansas praying for the people 8 days and 8 nights? Slept there, took a night, a little while and rest, and he would eat his meals right there, coming in from those meetings and going home. He'd run off out in the pasture field and come to himself with his hand on a cow's head. God bless you, sister. And he said he'd come off the field for a year after that. He said, does God do that to a man? He said, a man does that to himself. Praise the Lord, saints. So God gives us all of these things within us. Oh my. To warn us, so to help us. You're getting too stressed, you're getting too worn. Take some time, pray, do this, have the other. Hallelujah. Oh my. Brother Bram said, until I can feel that way. No. I'll have to loaf around. Oh great. Elijah. He's just kind of loafing around. You do believe what he said, do you not? Now, should I hide these quotes? Why would I want to do that? Oh, my. Think of this, friends. I'll just have to loaf around and preach some conventions and things. But wait. But wait. I wonder how many preachers in this message have lost the feeling for their people. Pastors, evangelists, but they got so much debt, so they get in such a grind, they just got to go, 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 go. A preacher is just not supposed to go, go, go. He's supposed to set, 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 and take in, take in, take in. I know you don't like it sometimes when I have other visiting preachers here. You explain that to me, Brother Donnie. I will not. I don't have to. There's times I need to feed. There's times I need to rest. There's times that I need to, but you ain't preaching so-and-so, but you don't have any idea what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through. You have no idea none. And if I don't follow them buzzers and them warning bells, you'll be coming seeing me in the ER somewhere. Come on, children. That's part of the gift in a man's life that gives him that warning. Can you imagine? Then Brother Branham comes back at the end of this sermon and he said, will you all pray for me that I'll get that love back that I lost in the complex? Now, can you imagine what a paradox? You're asking some of the same people who helped cause this to pray for you. Praise God. Why? All things must be done in charity. Not just faith. Not just hope. Not just signs. God accepts our works, Brother Jim, through charity. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing that wears you out like working with the people of God. They are some of the laziest, slow-temperedest, most slothful, sorriest, rottenest, no goodest, no countest. Don't sit there and smile at me, Brother Jim, and not nod your head. You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead and nod your head so they can see it. I'm talking about your flesh now, not your soul that's born again. They ain't hardly nobody that'll get under your skin like a Christian. Because we think they ought to know better. They ought to know better. But they're still a human being and that flesh ain't converted. What was it that got Brother Branham? Was it the Jezebel? Was it Jacqueline Kennedy going to, you know, hire somebody to shoot him? Was it JFK? Was it somebody else? It was the people he was sent to lead. Who was it that got Moses so riled up that it kept him from going into the promised land? The very people he delivered. And he stood right there in the presence of God 6 weeks after they agreed to not make any graven images. 6 weeks from the time that they done it and they made a graven image and God come down and said, your people, which you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Do you see what God done? God disowned them right there. God called them Moses people and God got angry because the people said that to Moses. Now God's saying the same thing they said. God disowned them and said, your people. But Christ and Moses stood right there and said, Lord, they're not my people. They're yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the wrath of God, friends, because of our shortcomings and our failures. How many times have the wrath of God said to us, aren't you glad we've got Christ Jesus there as our mediator? Hallelujah. He cannot come over the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this. Back to verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But charity is steady. It is permanent. It is eternal. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. How many wants this spice of charity in a greater way, in a greater way in your life? All of us in service, friends. Your mothers, you can lose this towards your children, towards your work as a housewife. Husbands can lose it towards your wives, wives towards your husbands, brothers and sisters toward each other because of this cold, cruel, Laodicean age that we're living in. But God expects us to be different because we're born from another world. Amen. We're not of this world. Hallelujah. Does it mean it'll be easy? Absolutely not. Now, surely you know and you'll agree with me that none of us have ever walked where God's prophet will, and we never will.
We're not called to that high order and that position. I'm so glad that God put on his heart to say these things to us. As I stood in a convention several years ago, and I'll not mention the man's name. He mentioned it publicly. He was one of the greatest men in the message. And he stood and said about himself that he felt like he'd lost the feeling for the people. I admired the man for saying it. Although I knew he risked the element of it. Because there's such a pride that goes with a lot of the message, folks. We want to act like we're so superior above everybody else and we know more. Well, we do. I'm not saying that we don't know anymore. But what good does it do us if we can't love? God never got on Brother Branham because he didn't know more, because he knowed less, because he didn't understand. It wasn't his understanding. It wasn't his knowledge. It was his feeling for the people. You see what a danger then that a preacher can be in, that a preacher can say truth. Man, he can say it. And still not feel for the people when he's saying it. It's almost out of anger or repetition. And some men by their makeup, brethren, sometimes even their background, they come from a strict background. And if they've not preached corrective every time they preach, they feel like they ain't preached. They can't preach a great sermon without tearing something up. What is that? It's that conscience I was telling you about last weekend. In their conscience, that's good preaching. What good does it do if it's not seasoned with charity? Amen. You folks want to get on Facebook and correct all these people that's left the message and this, that, and other. What good does it do you to do that if you're not doing it with charity? If you don't do it with feeling in your heart, leave them alone. Amen. What good does it do? What good does it do? Then you come right down on their level. If I get to a place that I can't preach without the love of God, I'm going to sit down. Okay? I'm giving you warning. I refuse to stand up here and preach with no feeling in my heart towards you. I refuse to go around the world and do whatever more that we do without feeling in my heart for the people. Oh, dear God, Brother Donnie, you ain't there, are you? No, I ain't. And I don't plan on getting there either. But I am a human, and I could. So what do I watch? The bells, the chimes, the whistles. And I'm telling you, you better watch them as well. You fathers can be fathers without feeling. You mothers can be mothers without feeling. You husbands and wives can be husbands and wives without feeling. A song leader can be a song leader without feeling. A piano player, an organ player, a guitar player. We don't want that. We don't want to be worshipers without feeling. You see people standing in church and people worshiping and they're just saying, whatever. That's not a worshiper. Amen. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you tonight, in your capacity, are in a very similar place where Brother Branham was then. If God would speak to you and say, you've lost the feeling for your children. You've lost the feeling for your wife or for the people. May God help us as bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Now friends, this is the kind of stuff that'll get us ready to leave this whole world. As a matter of fact, only those who have this kind of love will leave this world in a rapture. We can scream thunders and seals and Malachi 4 and all that we want to. But if we don't have this in our heart, our feet will never lift off the ground. Oh my. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayer? I got both my hands raised up as well. You got your head bowed. You can't say it, but I'm telling you, I want you to pray for me. I don't never want to be a preacher without feeling. I don't never want to counsel and give advice and do it as a routine or a ritual. Oh my. Heavenly Father, we want to do all things with charity. Lord, and myself and these people would have to be honest and say, there's things that we've done in our life that haven't been done through the avenue of charity. I'm sure there's things I preached. It wasn't through charity. It's because I thought it needed to be done. Every preacher here would be honest. And every other one that's ever preached much would have to say the same thing. I'd say the song leaders around the world and the message, if they'd be honest, they'd
stand up and say, they've kind of chided the people a little bit hard and rebuked them a little bit hard. And sometimes it wasn't the Lord doing it. They just got aggravated at them. Maybe the musicians or the singers, they sing and the people don't pull on them and they get aggravated. Lord, help us. The deacon brothers, they try to help the people and try to do their call of their office. People don't like them. People don't like some of the things they say and all that. Lord, it'd be easy for them if they're not careful. Having traveled around this message around the world, how many deacons, preachers have I seen that become so hardened? And they're a deacon, all right, but they're as cold as a piece of stone. And it just becomes an office. They don't feel for the people that are there to lead and help. Lord, help us here, I pray, Father. Dear God, we're far, far from being the example church. We're example to nobody. You deal with every church around the world according to what they need, Lord. We want to just synchronize these prayers right here toward us tonight, Lord God. Help me as the pastor, I pray, Father, that I'll never lose my feeling for the people. Dear God, please help me. Please help me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've been preaching for 40 years. Help me. It's sad to see that many men, when they get up in their years, that's when they turn away. That's when they go to getting off on stuff. Keep me, Lord, please. Keep me, Jesus. Don't just keep me doctrinally straight, but keep my heart straight, my feelings straight. Help me, Lord, to listen to the warnings and the buzzers and all that sort of thing when I know I'm getting stressed. And Lord, they don't have a clue of what I have to deal with, what I have to go through. When people around the world, constantly things, Lord, help me, I pray. So naturally, whenever I don't preach or I need to take a little bit of a break, there ain't no way they're going to understand it. Because they don't know what I go through, and I'm not going to stand up here and tell them. You're the one who knows. You're the one who called me to be this. If it's left up to me, I'd pastor a little handful of people. Nobody'd ever know me. I'd never go nowhere. I sure wouldn't be in the limelight to be shot at and have your life threatened and all kinds of stuff. But that ain't what you wanted me to be, so what can I do? Follow what I want and what you want. I got to follow you, Lord. But in the same time, help me, Lord, that I don't lose my feeling for the people. Lose my feeling for the word. Lose my feeling for preaching, for prayer, for study. Help these mothers, fathers, deacons, singers, musicians. Help all of us, Lord. Help these worshipers here at Happy Valley. That we don't become just methodical worshipers. Our hands just go up in the air. No feeling, no emotion, no tears, no attachment from our spirit. Help us, I pray, Lord God. If there's ones here tonight or ones that's heard this who are detached, and really they've built a complex because of this or that, and they lost the feeling of their children, their wife, their husband, the people they go to church with, may you help us tonight. May we be honest and follow the example of our prophet, Lord. I thank you for his honesty, his integrity. Of expressing this to us, Father. Maybe we've heard the word tonight and we'll pray. Maybe an instantaneous miracle will not be performed while we're here praying. But Lord, we will not be satisfied until the feeling returns. Hallelujah. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah, Father, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, children, let me ask you something. Do you believe the feeling returned to Brother Branham? Do you? You look at the word. You look at where he was in June of 1963. And you watch the further revealing of God's character and nature in his life. Not just gifts and signs. But the very heart of God is poured out more. 63, 64, and 65 than it ever was before. Which God would not have done to a man that did not love. God reveals his heart to those who love. He can reveal signs and wonders to sign seekers. I don't want just signs. I want his heart. Amen. I want his heart. Don't you? I want God's heart. Now notice something happened. When did it happen? What day was it? What month? I have no idea. But following what we see in his life, something happened inside this man's life to where the feeling came back.
Praise be to God. Amen. Don't you want to just love and feel and worship and obey? Don't become hard, children. Don't become hard like an old piece of rock. When we cry, when we pray, when we worship, let's not do it like a bunch of robots. Well, Brother Donnie, I've lost my feeling. Well, ask God to give it back to you. Ask God to help you. Preacher brothers, let's preach with feeling. Let's preach with desire. And most of all, leadership of the Holy Ghost and a feeling for the very people that we're preaching to.
Amen.
Can we just worship? Just raise our hands in the presence of God. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or be fulfilled. Signs, wonders, miracles, they'll all cease. But charity will never fail. Amen. I ain't talking about you giving to Goodwill and the Red Cross. That ain't charity, friends. I'm talking about this agape love. The love that only the elect can ever have. Praise be to God. Maybe you've been wounded as well. Maybe in your love department of your life. And part of your love for your wife, love for your children, for your husband, for your brothers and sisters. It's leaked out. You didn't intend for it to. But something so wounded you. This wife really let you down or disappointed you. You don't find yourself feeling the same toward her as you did a few years ago. Ask God to help restore that feeling back there. Remember the prophet telling us about the man and his wife that got into a little argument? He got ready to leave and go to work. He kissed her and told her goodbye and walked out. A few minutes, seconds, whatever it was, he come back. She's standing there behind the door crying. Remember it? Standing there behind the door crying. Took her in his arms. Got to thinking, what if something happened to her while I'm gone? What if something happened to me? Took her in his arms and kissed her and told her he loved her. Said almost the same thing. But that time was feeling. Amen. That time was feeling. We can do this right here. No emotion, no feeling, no attachment to our spirit. Methodical. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You could shout, dance, run, do all of that. Methodical. Do it and just become a ritual and a form. Oh my. But I want my soul, my spirit to be attached to it. Don't you? Amen. I can quote much of this word in my memory, and my wife can tell you, and brothers that ride with me whenever I go hunting, when we put a tape on and go to listen to it, many of these tapes, I can quote a big portion to you, and I'll say the words before Brother Branham ever says them. Why? Because I've listened to them so much and committed them to memory. And what's that mean? Absolutely nothing if I don't keep the love of God. I could quote the Word of God. I could quote the Bible, quote the prophet. What good would it do me if I don't have love in my heart?
Amen.
Don't you just want to be filled with it? I don't want just a little sup every now and then. I want to be so filled with this love of God. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes now if you would. Let's just raise our hands in the presence of the King. Oh, now I'm talking about bride material now. The elect of God sitting at the table and glory to God. The wind coming through and blowing this spice of charity into the presence of the King. And us being able to respond back from the Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 1 when the daughters of Jerusalem or the churches that do not have the position that the bride has. And they begin to say to the bride, oh, Shulamite, what is your beloved? Why is he so different than anyone else? Why is he so different? What makes him so different? And then we go to describing him. Oh, glory. We go to drawing a personification of what he is. And then in verse 2, we begin to come and say, my beloved has come into his garden. My beloved has come into the spices. My beloved has gathered the lilies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we want to be in such harmony with you. As the prophet said, he was down there at Brother Charlie Cox's, and he looked up on the telephone wire, and there was two doves sitting there. And he said they begin to coo. And he said they had their necks kind of hugged around one another, just making love to one another. And he said he got to thinking about us. Oh, hallelujah. He said God is a lover. And God needed someone. He said he's searching, looking, hungering for starchy hearts that he can make love to. But he had to make us lovable first before he could do it. Lord Jesus, may we not only in church but in our lives. Lord, may I be one like that, that I can sit up on that wire as it were. And me and you can sit there neck and neck, Lord God. And you coo to me and I coo back, Lord. Help me to not be bitter and hateful and contrary and all that sort of thing. Because, Lord, you'll never sit there and coo to that type of an attitude. Lord Jesus, help me to be more and more lovable to deity, Father. That I can sit here in the presence of God and worship and adore and magnify. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, I don't want to be a preacher that just tells the people how to worship and when to worship, but I want to lead them in worship. We know a true song leader, a service leader, is not a man that tells the people how to do it, but he's exactly what his office describes. He is a worship leader. So he leads the people in worship. It's not just giving commands and directions of how to do it, and y'all do this and y'all do that. He's leading them by example. Help me, Lord, to lead by the example, Heavenly Father. Help us husbands to lead our wives, our children. Help us leaders, Father, that we can lead in love. Lord, that we can pull all of our little families right up and out telephone wires, as it were. Lord, our sons, our daughters, our deacons, our trustees, every one of us sitting right up there on the telephone wire with you. And all of us got our necks wrapped around you and your neck wrapped around us. Because we're lovers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're lovers, Lord God. We've been redeemed by the power of God. We are not lost and never will be again. Lord, we're not haters. We're not mean-hearted. We're not mean-spirited. But, Father, we're lovers. Lovers of yours. Lovers of truth. Lovers of those that even hate us, Lord God. Coo. Coo, Father. Coo, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, great Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just imagine yourself now, children. It's just you and Jesus now in the church. Just you and him sitting here, standing, whichever position you're in. He's got his neck over on yours, and you've got your neck over on his. And the church is asking you, what makes you think you're so different? How come you think you're different than everybody else? And what's your beloved to you more than he is to us? We're the daughters of Jerusalem, and we're the churches. And they'll say, my beloved is white. He is ruddy. He is like an apple tree. My beloved is this and that. And then we'll move down and say, my beloved is walking among the beds of spices. My beloved has come into his garden. My beloved has gathered his lilies. Oh, Lord God, if we could only recognize what you've done. We former thorn bushes. We former plants of corruption and bitterness. And we've been so changed by the power of God that now we're lilies. We're lilies. And you're gathering your lilies out of your garden into your presence, oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Oh, great Adonai. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship him now, little children. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've got needs tonight. Oh, I know you do. But the prophet told us the right approach before we ask him our request is that we begin to worship him. We begin to worship him. Don't just jump into your needs first. But worship him a little first. That's the right way to prayer. That's the right approach. Hallelujah. Let's magnify him and praise him and adore him. He don't mind you making your requests known, but there's a divine protocol in approaching deity. Praise be to God. Oh, Jesus. Lily of the valley, bright in the morning star, fairest of 10,000s to my soul. You're my love, my peace, my joy. You're the reason I live, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the reason I preach, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. You encourage me when I'm down, Father. You heal me when I'm sick. You lift me up, Father God, when I'm weary. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for being a present help in the time of need. I thank you that you are my refuge. You are my strong tower. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord God. We bless your name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it for us, Harry, if you would. Let's just worship him now. As we sing together. I will worship you. I will not worship Buddha. I will not worship Allah. I will not worship any of the false gods of men. I will worship you with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. I will worship you with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you are. You're my Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. More love, Lord.
More power.
Yes, Father.
More of you.
In my life. Sing it, children.
More love.
Hallelujah, Lord.
More power. More of you
in my life.
I will worship you.
Amen.
With all of my heart.
With all my heart, Lord.
I will worship you.
I worship you.
With all of my heart.
My life, Lord.
I will worship you.
Yes, Lord.
With all of my strength.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are mine.
Amen, Lord. Sing it, children.
More love.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
More power. More of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. I will worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind.
Lord, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Anybody else with a need? The Lord God is among us. The Lord God of the bride is among us. Not a God of yesterday. Not a God of tomorrow. But the I am that I am. I will. Hallelujah. He's the healer. He's everything you need.
More power.
Amen. Amen.
More of me.
Lord God, bless it, Lord God. Preacher brothers, come and help me pray for these people. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord God.
More of you in my life. I will worship you with with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew right spirit within me. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, the joy.
Amen, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Let's sing it again. Praise God. Amen.
Oh, cast me not
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. We worship you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, minister to the needs of your children. Father, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together now. When nothing else could help, God's love lifted me. Oh, the love lifted me. Sing it to him, children. Love and lifted me when nothing else could help. God's love lifted me. I was sinking so very deep, and the mire of sin sinking all so far. Peaceful shore. Remember when you're there? Very deeply stained with sin, I was sinking to rise no more. The master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Glory! Oh, from the waters he lifted me. Now say, could have love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, love lifted me. For when I sing, nothing else could help. God's love lifted me. Hallelujah. 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 Down from his glory. Down from his glory. This is the reason we could be lifted by that love. Because down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came. Praise God. Let's sing it as we prepare to go. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came.
And Jesus was his name. Sing it with me now. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Now sing back to him. Together again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love him. I adore him. My God, my breath, my sunshine. Jesus, you're my as you go, see you in the morning. Oh, the bride loves him.